Welcome to the History Slam podcast from ActiveHistory.ca. Here's your host, Sean Graham.
Thank you, Adam. Welcome to the History Slam, everybody. I am Sean Graham. We're coming at you today nearly live from St. Catharines, Ontario, on the campus of Brock University. We're here with Congress 2014 and the CHA annual meeting. It's a beautiful spring day outside, which gives us occasion to think about the spring bear hunts, and who better to talk to about the spring bear hunt and just bear hunting in general. We have Mike Comito from McMaster University. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. It's almost like we've done this before. So you, I follow you on Twitter. You talk a lot about the spring bear hunt, which has just been returned to Ontario, and the issues surrounding that. And that is based on your interest in bear hunting in general, which is your dissertation.
Yeah.
So before we get into some of the specifics, just in general, what is the dissertation about? What exactly are you looking at with relation to bear hunting?
For the most part, it's a broader history of black bear hunting and management in Ontario. I'm looking at it from the early 20th century, roughly until the late 1980s, when we see some more significant legislation come in to govern how the province manages the bears in the 80s. So I'm looking at how various groups and individuals in the province, how they viewed bears over this period, and how these different ideas and perceptions have changed, and how these different ideas have had an impact on how policy is implemented on the ground and how the province tries to govern the relationship between humans and black bears in Ontario.
And it's in the evolution of this over time, right?
So yes. Yeah.
You know, people's perception of the bears in 1920 are going to be different from 1950, I'm curious, as you're going through this, what kind of motivations are you seeing for people wanting to hunt bears? Like, because I don't get it. Bears don't come in and maul people to death. That just doesn't happen regularly. So why are we killing them? Because I've never eaten bear.
Yeah,
I'm sure maybe you can, but I mean, I don't understand the purpose of killing bears.
Some people definitely do. They will eat. Like, obviously, you have your trophy hunters that are just interested in you know, pursuing the animal to get the ultimate prize that they killed a black bear, and they have the rug to prove it, or maybe they've mounted the head. But otherwise, people will eat black bears. But just more generally, when looking back through the history, when people kind of advocated the government to take a more hardline approach to implement a more rigorous hunting policy, it's generally when black bears will compete with human interests. When if they're becoming a nuisance, is the common term you'll hear nowadays, is that, you know, the spring bear hunt's being brought back to combat nuisance bears, right? So historically, we've seen this as well, where if bears are getting too close to crops and livestock, and even to personal property and humans, you'll hear these complaints go up to the government saying, you know what, we need to bring in more regulations so that we can hunt bears more freely to kind of reduce the population. Or there was even a period from 1942 to 61 where the provincial government brought in a bounty. So they were paying residents of the province $5 to kill a cub and $10 to kill adult bears. So this was the way that they incentivized residents to kind of, you know, keep the bear population in check. But largely, they were trying to assuage these concerns about threats that bears could present to the livestock and agricultural industry.
Do bears actually present that much of a threat, or is it more of a perceived threat by people? Because I can understand why people think bears are intimidating, because they are. They're giant creatures that are very intimidating to see in person. But is that threat real? Is there a substantial threat posed by bears, whether to people or to livestock and to the environment?
Generally, absolutely, because they're such a large animal and they are potentially dangerous, they could be a threat, but for the most part, like you mentioned, these are very rare and these occurrences don't generally happen, right? And it's really impossible to kind of forecast if there is going to be that one, you know, that one odd encounter that, you know, turns deadly. You know, these are usually the exception, not the rule. And in terms of livestock and crops, yes, the bears definitely do present obstacles they present problems to this, right? So, but there are ways that you can kind of mitigate this by setting up fencing around the crops that you want to protect, and for the most part also just kind of managing how you dispose of and handle your garbage, right? You kind of want to reduce the number of attractants around your property that would invite bears to come in, right? Which could lead to more problems, you know, for that bear, because it'll keep coming back, which in turn leads to problems for you, right? So
right.
I think it comes down to a lot of personal responsibility, that is, as much as you'll hear in the media that you know, these concerns about threats that bears pose are often ramped up. They are real, but for the most part, there are ways that we can kind of get around this by, you know, being more responsible ourselves.
Now, in looking at the history of bear hunting in Ontario, is there a certain trend? Is there, because it seems to me that there was a trend in 20th century that leans to more environmental policies and people becoming more and more concerned with the environment through the 20th century. Mm. Is that a trend that you see in bear hunting as people are addressing the policies of bear hunting, sort of thinking more and more about the environmental impact of the hunt?
Yeah, actually, I've noticed with a lot of the documentation in the 1970s, which, as we know, is when the environmental movement is really starting to pick up steam. But even in smaller communities in Sudbury, you'll find that there was a particular notable incident where a hunter in the Sudbury area in 1971, he killed a mother bear and he killed the four cubs that were with her. And there was a huge outcry because the way that the paper had portrayed this event, they almost positioned it as the good deed of the day. But the real takeaway issue from a lot of the commentary that was in the newspaper and beyond this was that people were not really concerned about, the fact that he was bear hunting. They were measuring that, what is the ecological damage of this? What is this possibly can't be good? You're taking out four young members of this family. There must be some sort of measures that need to be implemented to kind of protect the more vulnerable and young parts of the population. So we start to see that infuse into some of the concerns that people have about bear hunting. It's not simply just, people are opposed to hunting, they'll always be around. But now you start to see people that might not necessarily have reservations to hunting in general, but they have concerns about how do these practices affect local ecologies and what is the long-term impact on the environment. And in turn, the Ministry of Natural Resources also starts to address these in their own reports and in their own findings. Obviously, the biologists and the conservation officers, they're worried about what does the science say behind hunting? Does this hunting policy make sense from a scientific standpoint? But they're also looking at the environmental issues, right? So even a practice baiting the animal, right? It's synonymous with spring bear hunting. But even in the 70s, the MNR is concerned about the fact that, bear hunting is, it's a shade away from at times being a dump site for people's garbage, right? So they start to question, maybe spring bear hunting itself needs to be more regulated because it's kind of inviting these other practices that the MNR, obviously, as a steward of Ontario's natural resources, should be kind of safeguarding against bear hunters just turning the woods into dump sites for whatever they choose, right?
Right. So. Within that context, though, do you see people like PETA who are framing their argument not so much in the humanitarian thing of trying to save bears because we should save bears, but rather trying to cast their argument in the environmental angle because that's a more convincing way to get people on board? Because you know what? A lot of people, you say, oh, we have to save the bears to save the bears. They see, as Stephen Colbert likes to say, godless killing machines, right? So the only way to get people on board with that is maybe to put it in this larger environmental capacity. And they're not puppies.
Yeah.
Right? It's easy to say don't kill puppies. Puppies are cute. Yeah. Bears aren't.
Wild animals.
Right, yeah. So it strikes me as that might be an easy way for animal rights groups to frame their argument.
Absolutely. And that's what, if we look at earlier, Ontario had a spring bear hunt for residents and non-residents from 1961 until 1999. The government canceled it in 1999 after it encountered a lot of pressure from animal rights groups and animal welfare groups and people in the province that, they felt there were some ethical failings with the spring bear hunt. It was oftentimes you'd have a mother bear would be accidentally killed. It's been illegal to shoot lactating sows in the springtime. But obviously sometimes hunters they're not able to properly identify the sex of the animal. Mm-hmm. So mother bear is killed. The cubs are left alone in the bush and for the most part they'll die, right? So people were concerned that this was kind of a practice that was not necessary. And so they cast their arguments in the framework of orphan cubs. That was their message they got out there, and it worked. They had all these evocative posters of orphan cubs caught in the crosshairs of rifles or talking about how they would time their ads sometimes around Mother's Day saying it's Mother's Day, all she wants is her mother, but a hunter shot her, right? And for the most part, and this worked, obviously it convinced the government, it got enough people on board because obviously these images tug at the heartstrings, but it's still a very divisive image and inflammatory at times, right? So you would kind of split the two camps into hunting and non-hunting, and there's really very little room for accommodation. We've seen that before where they say, we shouldn't spring bear hunt because you shouldn't shoot bears, right? It kills bear families. But now, with the government's pilot project coming back in, we're starting to see some of these groups that were around before with the earlier debate are starting to embrace some of the science more in their arguments. And I think that this is making them a lot more convincing. They're able to appeal to a broader audience because now we have some science that says that a spring bear hunt is not going to reduce the number of nuisance bear occurrences. It's not going to reduce negative human bear interactions. So they're not, while they're still advocating about the concerns about orphaning cubs, they're also trying to point to the science that if you really want to reduce these types of incidents between people and bears, you need to focus more on education and personal responsibility, mm-hmm. because there's really no study right now that says that a spring bear hunt will equal less nuisance bear activity.
Well, I mean, how about we just don't put towns in the middle of the woods where the bears are? Right? I mean, I did my undergrad in North Bay. You live in Sudbury.
Yeah.
And at the time, Nipissing University only had like 200 res rooms on campus, and well, on campus, right where the actual campus buildings are, where the classrooms are. The other residence, the on-campus residence, was at the bottom of the hill. If you've ever been to North Bay, on Nipissing, you have to go up this giant hill to get to campus. It's the only way to get up to the classrooms. So when I was at the res at the bottom of the hill, and there's a pathway, and they say, never take the pathway by yourself. I did, because I was 18 years old, and I knew everything in the world, right? So I take this path, it's dusk, and I come around the bend, and there's this baby bear there. Looks up, sees me, runs into the woods, and then I get the hell out of there as fast as I can before the mother comes to see what's going on. There's two things that occurred to me in that moment. One, if somebody had a gun, go nuts. Shoot that bear, and I would not have cried for the bear. Mm-hmm. Two, why am I living here 20 feet away from where bears are? Like, it doesn't strike me as necessarily the best thing to do. I mean, at what point do we have to examine the human expansion into this natural area and stop saying that, well, the bears are the problem? Maybe it's us who are causing the problems.
And that's the one issue that really kind of undergirds this whole thing, right? Is this whole, not idea, but the actual reality of encroachment into natural habitats for a lot of these animals, right? And it's oftentimes people, there's no contradiction between the fact that they want the spring bear hunt, but also at the same time, they would not want to leave where they live for anywhere else, right? So I think on some level, that's when you really have to take into account personal responsibility. And if you want to live in areas that bears are known to reside, I mean, Ontario has the third largest black bear population in North America, right? So, I mean, if you're in Northern Ontario, odds are you're in bear country, right? Oftentimes, right? So, I mean, I think that's important to remember too, that this is where the bears reside. And I think that I'm not against all forms of hunting. I have some issues with this current spring bear hunt that the government has brought back in, but I think ultimately, if people want to continue living in Northern Ontario, and obviously people want to see these animals in their alive state as well, so I think mm-hmm. we have to take stock of what we're doing and how this kind of, you know, can hinder our coexistence with them in Northern Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it strikes me as a very human thing to do, is say, here are some animals that might cause us some problems. Let's just kill them. It's so backwards. Part of it is very backwards, because especially if you put it in this environmental terms, it's like, oh, well, think of the ecological impact. You know what? There's too many people on this planet, you could argue. Yeah. Nobody's saying, let's round some people up and kill them for the ecological impact. And yet, it's okay to do it with animals. And I'm not an animal rights guy. I mean, I eat meat, and I don't, like... But there's something that doesn't jive to it. There's a disconnect that doesn't quite make sense in my head, and I can't quite figure it out. But with respect, then, to this spring bear hunt and the government bringing it back, what is the impetus behind bringing it back? And what sort of measures are they taking to ensure that the black bear population isn't completely wiped out?
The reason why the government has finally decided to open the books again on this, I guess last summer was a particularly bad year for black bears and people. So there was a number of incidents where there was a gentleman in Cochrane, he was severely mauled by a black bear on his property. There was an M&R biologist, I think he was from Thunder Bay, but it was near, he was working near Timmins, and he encountered a predatory black bear that he had to keep at bay with bear spray. And there's also some other incidents where bears were apparently breaking into residences in Cochrane. I haven't found any articles that kind of substantiate that, but...
Breaking the window, just watching some TV.
Yeah, just trying to get a snack, right? So you'll hear these stories, and I think what the liberals were trying to respond to was these genuine concerns of people that live in these communities that, you know, have high bear densities. Obviously, they want to be safe. They want to be able to, for their children and their pets to go outside, but at the same time, you know, there has to be some workable solution. So I think the government felt that maybe this would be one way to address these concerns and, you know, maybe perhaps bolster its support in these northern ridings by finally revisiting the spring bear hunt, which for the most part hasn't been touched by any of the major parties since it was canceled in 1999. So what they've done is they've opened It's a limited spring bear hunt. It's a pilot project, so it'll run for 2 years. And roughly what it does is from May 1st to June 15th, there will be spring bear hunts in 8 wildlife management units. Mm-hmm. And these are the units that are most close or adjacent to North Bay, Sudbury, Sault Ste. Marie, Timmins, and Thunder Bay. So again, the 5 major centers in Northern Ontario, mm-hmm. and oftentimes the places that usually have some of the higher nuisance bear complaints per year, right? Sudbury historically has the highest since they implemented BearWise in 2004. So it's a 6-week program, and it's only open to resident hunters. So unless if you're outside of Ontario, if you're from the States, or if you're from Manitoba, you can't participate in the spring bear hunt. But you or I could, provided that we're licensed hunters and we have a valid firearms license. So that, I think, for the most part, this does not present a threat to the long-term viability of black bears, because it's only a 6-week period, and again, it's only open to resident hunters. So it's far less traffic or far less interest that we would get than when we have a fall bear hunt that is open to resident hunters and non-resident hunters, and is far longer. In some areas, it runs from August 15th until early November. And even in these areas as well, if you're a resident, you're able to purchase an additional bear hunting tag. So sometimes you can hunt more than one bear per year. Mm. So it's a lot less than the fall bear hunt. So I think that's the one way that, you know, there's no tangible risk to the species.
Is there actually a chance that it will eliminate or reduce the number of nuisance bear complaints? If it's such a minor project, I mean, how many bears are going to get killed? Like 50, 100? I mean, is that really going to reduce the number of complaints?
No, and that's the problem, right? Because even if you were to look historically at the number of bears that are killed in these wildlife management units in the fall, and this is just crude math that I've done, but roughly we can't necessarily expect to see more than 500 or 600 bears harvested in this 6-week time frame. And this is based off extrapolations from almost a 10 to 12 week hunt in the fall with more people participating. So again, even if you did meet that goal of 500 to 600, that still only represents a fraction of the population, right? The population is roughly estimated at between 85 and 100,000. So this is not it wouldn't be a significant call. Mm-hmm. And I mean, beyond the numbers themselves, the other reason why the spring bear hunt is not going to be successful is because nuisance behavior, or whatever we want to call it, is driven by the natural availability of foods for bears, right? So on a season where berry crops are poor, and in the fall, if mast crops, acorns, if those are not in abundance, then this will drive bears out of their natural habitat to seek out alternative food sources, right? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you'll find this in your backyard. If you leave your garbage out the night before, if you don't clean your barbecue regularly, or if you keep bird feeders out all year round, mm-hmm. this kind of invites them in poor years when the food sources are not readily available to bears. And again, we had a really long winter, really harsh winter, so the bears are coming out.
They'll be hungry.
They're hungry, right? And there's not the food sources that are normally available aren't there. So, and we're having a spring bear hunt. So even though we have the spring bear hunt this year, that probably won't reduce the number of nuisance complaints, right? Because they're still going to need to find those food sources, and they're going to find them in areas where people are living or they're, you know, vacationing in cottage countries. So
is that really your primary objection to the spring bear hunt, is that you don't think this is an effective means of dealing with the complaints with bears?
Yeah, that's my whole issue, is that the science doesn't back up the claims that this will help reduce the number of nuisance bear complaints.
So from the perspective of someone who's bought a house in North Bay, mm-hmm. I have bears coming into my backyard. I don't want bears in my backyard. I want to sit in my backyard. What do we do then to address these issues? Yes, you talked about maybe fences, bears, things like that. But at the same time, unless you electrify a fence, a bear can get through a fence if you're so inclined. So, I mean, how do we try to limit the number of interactions that humans are having with bears, given that these communities are already established and neither the people or the bears seemingly are going to go away?
Just to kind of speak about BearWise, this was the program that the government brought in 2004. And this was done in the wake of concerns after they canceled the spring bear hunt first in 1999, that nuisance bear, not only were nuisance bear complaints up, but people were under the impression that the population had increased significantly because of the reduced hunting pressure. Mm-hmm. So they brought in BearWise to kind of help government partner up with communities and police departments to promote education and proper coexistence with animals, right? Mm-hmm. That program was gutted, so to speak, in 2012. They reduced a lot of their bear technicians that would be working on the ground. The MNR also canceled on-site visits to landowners that were having frequent problems with bears, and they also stopped the trap and release program. And now the trap and release program, for the most part, doesn't work with older bears, but some studies have shown results that, reveal that in younger juvenile bears, trap and release can still be effective. So I think when we're talking about, you know, obviously you want to be able to enjoy your backyard, you want to enjoy your property from, you know, without having to worry about, you know, I left the dog outside unattended, you know, or the kids are outside playing in the backyard. What if a bear saunters in while they're outside? And that, and I think that's what the government needs to get back to, is really addressing what's going on in these communities, right? Because maybe you're bear wise and you don't keep birds feeders out and you take care of your garbage and you clean your barbecue,
but Jim
your
does.
Neighbor doesn't, right? So that's the problem, right? So even if you're personally responsible, you still live in a community where if not everyone is adhering to these principles and these tenets of bear wise, the bears are still going to keep coming back, right? So I think that as much as, you know, the government points to the price tag that bear wise was, you know, it cost $34.5 million since they implemented it in 2004. Ultimately, this is money well spent, but there has to be the commitment between the government and these communities to really get people on board with this, because it's worked in practice in Elliott Lake. That community has made itself bear-wise through bylaws. So for the most part, they've seen a huge reduction in the number of nuisance bear complaints and issues since they did that. It's an ambitious plan to try to get all these larger communities like North Bay and Sudbury that are you know, substantially bigger than Elliott Lake, but still, that's what I think would kind of reduce these problems that you're encountering, where bears are going to keep coming in, right? And you can't just keep shooting them every time they get too close. There, you have to stop it at the root of the problem, right? So,
actually, there was an issue in Washington recently, and there was a bear, and someone called animal control, and the animal control people basically said, well, we don't do anything with bears, and they just sort of waited for this bear to go away. And the point that I was listening to Tony Kornheiser's show, and basically they joked that, well, if you don't like your neighbor, put a pizza on his lawn, and the bear will show up at your neighbor's house. So, but it does speak to this issue of I can do everything I want, but I don't live in isolation. But there's other people around, and it's a really interesting issue, because it is this contact between nature and humans, and that isn't pleasant. I mean, if a deer comes onto your property, people will be, for the most part, unless you're in an urban area, people will be like, oh, this is fun, I'll take some pictures, this will be cute. Or people have bird feeders because they like seeing birds come. But if a bear shows up, it's a completely different
thing. Call the cops.
Like, we have to shoot it, we have to do anything. Although, I'll freely admit that the bear... It was up in a tree. Have you seen this video? It's a bear in a tree. They tranquilize the bear.
When it
falls onto the trampoline
and then bounces off.
it's kind of funny.
No argument for me. I've seen it a number of times. So,
if we want to make people bear aware, how much can the history of the bear hunt and people's interactions with bears in this province help with that? Because, as we said at the start, there's obviously a transition of how people look at bears. I mean, can the bear hunt history, or just the history of bear-human interactions in Ontario, help people sort of become bear aware? I mean, is there something that you can do with your work, your history, to sort of further this along?
I think that ultimately, I mean, if I'm able to kind of help out the situation all with historical stuff, then that's, I'm all for that, right? But I think generally, just to kind of bring awareness to how our different perspectives have really shaped management, right? How we can see how the way that we approach these animals, the way we view them, right? Right now, a lot of people are viewing them as nuisances in Northern Ontario, and this has some significant ramifications for how they're managed, right? So I think if we look back at the historical records, we can see that, you know, is this really how we want to continue our relationship with bears in the province, right? I mean, a lot of people, they value them for what they bring intrinsically to our surroundings. So I think that for the most part, people don't want to see the black bear population wiped out, right? So there has to be a better way of managing our coexistence. But ultimately, I think that even just from a practical standpoint, the historical records will show that, you know, from the early 1960s, you've had Department of Lands and Forest officers, the DLF became the MNR. These guys are writing down that natural food availability is driving up nuisance bear complaints. And you see these records, and the MNR officers, the conservation officers, the biologists, they're not calling for their supervisors to lobby the government to bring in more rigorous hunting, or more liberal hunting, I should say. They're saying that, you know, this is the issue, and we should start to focus on this, right? And I think that, that's really, the government really hasn't spoken to that right now. They kind of just they're treating this as a public safety issue, and that the spring bear hunt is going to solve this, right? But the fact of the matter is, even the contemporary research shows that there is no correlation we have all these historical records, too, that show that the MNR has identified this very early on, and they've continued to point to this, and it's taken a number of years, finally, before you actually see this put into practice, right? Mm-hmm. You can have biologists saying in 1960s that having garbage out is a problem, but really the Ontario government doesn't really do much about it until, you know, Bearwise actually comes out in 2004. So there's a significant gap. So I think that looking at this and how long it's taken for policy to kind of catch up with some of the science and ideas, I think can kind of give us some insights into, you know, maybe we need to act a little more quickly on this, or maybe that, you know, if the hunt is not going to work, you still need to have a viable solution, right, to kind of make sure that people and the bears are safe wherever they live.
Right. But that's really where the history then comes in. It's like, we've tried this before and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And so why would you think that it's going to work here? There's clearly something there that obviously needs to be expressed. And you're doing a lot of press, a lot of media to try and express that.
Yeah.
And try and get that message out. But I'm wondering, too, how is it compared, the language being used now by people who support the spring bear hunt, to the language that was used when the spring bear hunt was first brought in?
When it first started in the 60s?
Yeah.
When they first brought in the spring bear hunt, they actually brought it in for non-resident hunters, so largely for Americans that were coming over. Mm. The Americans could hunt bears under a spring bear license since 1937. If you and I were around in the 30s, we could hunt bears any time of the year, provided we had a valid firearms license.
Right.
So there was no licensing system. When they brought it in 1961, and they, you know, residents were now eligible to hunt spring bears or bears in the springtime as long as they bought a license, there actually wasn't a lot of support for it. And so Ontario's never really had much interest in spring bear hunting until the 1980s. And even at that, the late 1980s. For the most part, this was largely an American phenomenon. These tourist hunters from the United States and even beyond. I've seen some reports from guys coming over from Germany because of...
To shoot a bear.
To spring bear hunt. And so, for the most part...
It's a tourist attraction.
Exactly. And this is... So, the bear hunt, the management program is largely being driven by interest coming from tourist hunters that are, you know, that are obviously take... They're being serviced by guides and outfitters in Northern Ontario. So, this is really what drives the spring bear hunt in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Because, for the most part, people in Ontario had never really thought of black bear as a worthy pursuit in terms of big game hunting.
Mm-hmm.
They had been previously conditioned by the government to view them as vermin. They were legally considered as a pest, and the government was happy to give you $10 for every bear you kill.
Right. Right.
So after a 20-year period of this, of these value or these ideas being entrenched that bears are nothing more than vermin and nuisances, now the government turns around and says, well, actually, now they're big game animals. Now you pay us to hunt them. I'm not going to pay you anymore.
Mm.
So for the most part, most residents did not want anything to do with this. They're like, I was getting paid last year. I made $300 hunting or killing black bears. Now you want me to buy a license to kill them?
Right.
I have no interest. So the government really tried to really market it as a sport early on, but it took a long time for residents to finally get interested on a recreational level. I think a lot of what spurred recreational interest in spring bear hunting was the fact that they were seeing these Americans come in, and they were recognizing that this was big money, that they could make a lot of money by catering to these guys that were willing to come in and pay top dollar to get a bear in the springtime. And so I think that once the spring bear hunt really becomes big business, that's when we start to see residents kind of get on board with it.
That's really crazy. Well, it's not crazy, but that, I guess, no, I guess it's the same thing, because it happens in Africa a lot, where people will go to shoot something. Like, hunting tourism is a real thing.
Yeah.
And so that the Ontario government engaged in it in such a way, I guess, shouldn't be surprising.
No. Yeah. Like, that's MNR used to release, they'd have their news releases, and they used to have a Fish and Wildlife review, and that's, they would kind of just extol the benefits of spring bear hunting. They marketed it as, you know, in between the end of, you know, until spring fishing starts in May and hunting starts in the fall, what are you going to do? They kind of advocated this as, you know, as to men, they'd say, you've been cooped up all winter, bowling and doing all these other sorts of activities. Now is your first opportunity to take the gun off the rack and go in the bush and get yourself a big game animal, right? And so that's kind of how they approached it.
Yeah, there's a real sort of a notions of masculinity in that, of shooting a bear is like, look at me, I'm in charge now.
Yeah, absolutely. And then even in I know that you'd asked me about language before, and I kind of went on that tangent about how residents viewed them. But the language of all that too, even when you look at the groups that were fighting against the spring bear hunt in the 1990s, again, these ideas of masculinity, because they were almost they were labeling the guys that or the people that participated in the spring bear hunt as these guys were cowardly,
right?
Because it was unsportsmanlike to do this. It didn't really require a lot of skill in their minds. So again, these whole ideas of competing notions of masculinity, where not all hunters are not masculine, but they were portraying spring bear hunters as almost not manly because this was considered to be below what the sporting ethic called for.
Right. Like what kind of man goes and just to shoot something. Like that's not right. So in the 60s with John Wayne, that's the ultimate masculine thing you can do is take a gun out and shoot. Well, in the Westerns, a person, but in this context, an animal. And then in the 90s, if people who are opposed to it say, no, that's actually the least masculine thing you can do. That's a really interesting dynamic. And I realize this is an environmental history project, but those are obviously issues that would have to be addressed in sort of understanding how people are responding to the spring bear hunt. Because they're obviously, in the 1960s, I'm assuming that the Ontario government did not try to appeal to women to come shoot a bear.
No. Right? No.
So it's clear, there's clearly a gendered dynamic there that's in play.
Yeah, absolutely. And you really see that with the spring bear hunt again. And that's also because the issue is the mother bear, the lactating sow and the cubs, right?
Yeah.
So again, these maternal issues at play. And oftentimes a lot of these groups that, at least in the Ontario case, the one group that was on the ground running the campaign was, the organization is predominantly women, right? And again, they're able to mobilize their campaign often around Mother's Day, as I mentioned earlier. And I mean, a lot of the letter writers that wrote in were women, they were children, and they were whole family units, right? You would see these letters that were either signed off by someone with presumably a female name, but also, the whole family had signed off. It was whatever, the two parents and the children. Or sometimes it was just children writing in, right? So again, this appeal around the fact that this was a... there was obviously gendered notions behind the hunt, right? That this was mothers and families, et cetera, right?
So, yeah. Now, one thing you mentioned, you talked about the bear population and the black bear population. Now, forgive me, are there other types of bears in Ontario or is it just black bears?
In James Bay, there might be polar bears. I believe, I'm not sure 100%, but I mean, obviously, on that same parallel in Manitoba up in Churchill, right? You have black bears or polar bears there, but for the most part, we're just focusing on black bears, right? But yeah.
But are there like brown bears or I'm assuming there's no grizzly bears in Ontario?
No. So I mean, historically, thousands and thousands of years ago, yes, for sure. But no, we haven't had brown bears or grizzlies in Ontario for quite some time.
Okay. So you estimated that the population is somewhere between 85,000
and 100,000.
Where do those numbers come from? Because they seem so just, to me, random because there's no way of knowing.
Yeah.
How many bears are in the woods? So where do these numbers come from? And how do even methods of trying to keep track of them, how have they changed in the period that you're studying? Because I would assume that there's an evolution in terms of how you count or try to count the number of bears.
Yeah. So the current count we have, and I mean, the important thing to keep in mind is that no one definitively knows, right? We only have our best estimates, right? And right now, the 85 to 105 is generally considered the best and most accurate count we have. And that was done by Dr. Martin Obard. He's a ministry biologist, and he's regarded as the preeminent bear expert in Ontario. So that was his study that he did. And how he did it was he would have these barbed wire, traps laid out along in areas with high bear densities. Mm-hmm. And they would take DNA samples. As they would walk through, it would grab a piece of fur, and they would do a DNA analysis. And then from that, they would be able to extrapolate the number of bears that they believed to be in that area, and then again extrapolate that to kind of take into consideration the whole province, right? Because they're not able to go around to every single, huge area in question, right? So they have to, again, they'll do their actual studies on the ground, but again, these are extrapolations. And so historically, if you look back, the MNR really had no idea how many bears they had into the 70s and 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we get to the 80s, and they start to actually begin to throw out an estimate around, 75 to 100,000. So it's much, much more broad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, as technology kind of catches up, we start to see these reports. The MNR actually refers to, computer modeling as the crystal ball of black bear management, because this will allow them to better gauge the number of bears in the province. So again, early on, it was very rudimentary. I'm sure it was just based on, the number of bears that were being hunted in the season, they would try to, I guess, count backwards, right? So if you have so many bears being killed, then potentially, you know, you can kind of do the math the other way.
Right.
But again, you really see the evolution as technology comes into play in the 80s, and then more so now as they're beginning to bring in more sophisticated computer management models to kind of best extrapolate, right? And I mean, it's not definitive, but it's the best resource that we would have. So
coming up with these estimates, you believe that they're pretty accurate? I mean, within 20,000.
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, obviously that is if you look at it,
It seems like a narrow. It strikes me as a kind of a narrow range, actually.
Yeah.
Of 20,000, like when again, there's just no way of.
Yeah.
There's no bear census.
Yeah, exactly, right? And I mean, I've seen estimates that are far, the gulf between the minimum figure and the maximum is far larger. There's some will say it's, you know, it's 100 to 150,000, or it's 125 to 150,000. So again, you have to be, you know, I think if you can find something with a narrow margin, then, you know, obviously they're subject to statistical error and realistic error, right?
Yeah.
We don't know because no one's around, you know, going to every bear den and counting the bears and they move on to every den in Ontario, right? So again, I'll always defer to the scientists, right?
Sure.
The biologists that are doing the work, I'll trust them, right? Because as much as I try to, obviously science plays a big part in my environmental history research, for the most part, I'm not a biologist, right? So I kind of have to trust, go with the experts on whatever they're, whatever they say. So.
Well, it's like there was that road or there's the highway, I think it's in Alberta, might be in BC, in through a park, and there's people kept hitting things that needed to cross the road because the road was through the middle of the park, and they built these bridges along, and so animals have started going over these bridges and learned to cross the road by using the bridges. And what the last time I saw a story on it, they talked about the number of animals going across, and the question that was asked was, well, is that one deer going back and forth four times in a day, or is it four different deer? Right, and trying to figure that out. So I guess that's where the DNA comes in, is that you can tell that that's not the same bear just going in a circle.
Yeah.
Eight times.
Exactly.
Right.
And actually, those wildlife bridges that you're talking about, like those started in, I think it was Canmore in the 80s, but Ontario has one now.
Oh, do
they? It's actually south of Sudbury, just before Killarney. It's a wildlife crossing bridge, and the highway, I forget the actual distance, but leading up to the bridge and afterwards, there's fencing that runs along the highway for, you know, I think 10, 15 kilometers maybe. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that the fencing will kind of funnel them in to this wildlife crossing bridge. That way they can safely cross the highway, you know, so.
Yeah.
And originally, I think when they first opened that bridge in Ontario, they had a camera there and you could go online and do a live feed, I guess, of watching it. I don't think they have it anymore, but so.
So right now, as we're speaking, there is a provincial election campaign going on. And you talked about how it's the Liberal government that has brought this in, and we'll see if there continues to be a Liberal government in a few weeks. We don't know. But I'm wondering, if I'm a politician, if I'm one of the leaders of the three major parties who are running in this election, frankly, the election in the Ontario context is probably going to be won somewhere between Windsor and Ottawa in that corridor, right? That's where the majority of the seats are. That's where a lot of them are spending a majority of their time. Why are they going to be concerned with the bear hunt? I mean, how does this become an issue for them, given the demographics of this province, with most people being in southern Ontario below Barrie? I mean, how does the bear hunt become an issue politically for these people? Because I live in Ottawa. We never talk about the bear hunt.
Yeah.
My parents live in southern Ontario. I don't recall ever talking about a bear hunt with them. How does this become a political issue?
That's a good question, because we saw in 1999 when the government first had to deal with it, they were concerned about ridings in Niagara. This was where a lot of these animal rights and these animal welfare groups, they're based in southern Ontario, right? So they're not located in areas where we're in bear country, right? But they're located in southern Ontario. And so the Harris government had actually canceled the spring bear hunt because they were concerned about losing key ridings in the Niagara region, right? So again, far removed from bear country, but still became a political talking point, obviously, that they really had to consider this and what would the ramifications be going into the general election in 1999. And so again, I think here today, if you went on Twitter and you just searched spring bear hunt, you'll see that often the people that are opposed to this decision, they don't live in northern Ontario, right? There are a lot of people in northern Ontario that oppose the decision as well. But there's a lot of outcry against it in Southern Ontario, where these ridings might matter most, right? And even beyond, people that don't even live in Canada, they're on Twitter talking about the spring bear hunt. It's inhumane. It's unethical. All these. Right. So I mean, it has broad appeal outside of Northern Ontario, and I think that is why it could. You know, I mean, it's obviously not. It won't be a significant decision in how they handle it leading up to the election. But still, I think that it still could pose a potential. Issue for them.
But if the majority of the people who are paying attention to it in Southern Ontario are animal rights people who are opposed to it on humanitarian reasons, then it seems counterintuitive to me that they would bring it back.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if people in the North don't have that feel that strongly about it, except for, you know, I don't want to get my lungs ripped out by a bear when I'm sitting in my house. But if it's not creating strong reactions from people and it's not a main issue for them where there are bears, then bringing it back politically, if the people who are looking at it from afar saying this is bad, it strikes me that it doesn't make any sense to have it as an issue then.
Yeah, and I mean, I think initially obviously
they weren't planning
on having an election in June, right? And the pilot project the two-year project would have been done before we had the general election, and then at that point they could have assessed, you know, what is the ecological impact of this hunt? Is there one? And what is the social and political fallout of this? Like, is this going to be an issue going into the election, right? So I think that it'll be interesting to see how this is handled. But I know that already when they had their by-election in Niagara, the Liberal candidate, Joyce Morocco, they were running ads against her, with the bear hunt as a focus, right?
Wow.
So people in Niagara were on Twitter, you know, calling out Joyce Morocco. I don't know the whole the political situation in that riding, but they were pointing at Morocco represents the Liberals, and the Liberals represent killing cubs and the spring bear hunt. So again, it's, you know, she lost that. I'm not going to say it's because of the spring bear hunt, but if you go online, you can see that this was part of whatever opposition was mounting against her.
So have the Conservatives or the NDP really... Is it part of their platform at all?
I emailed the NDP just to talk to a spokesperson to see if they could comment on, you know, going forward, if they win the election, what are they going to do? Are they going to continue on with the spring bear hunt? And I haven't, they said they don't have a definitive answer yet.
Okay.
So I haven't had a response back from the Conservatives. I have actually made contact with Green Party leader on Twitter, and he says that he's opposed to the spring bear hunt. And that,
well, should that mix sort of?
Yeah.
That's sort of expected,
surprise there,
yeah.
Right, but he
also
said that they would work towards... supporting Bearwise again, bringing more life into Bearwise, but again, that's not a surprising answer from them, right?
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with it, especially if it's a pilot project.
Yeah,
right. Because you can easily say, "Well, it didn't work."
Yeah,
right.
And they've definitely learned their lessons from 1999. Because again, it's a pilot project, so it's temporary. There's nothing to suggest that this is long term, unless of course there's no political fallout from this, and the communities are happy. But also, to get into this pilot project, these municipalities had to opt in, right? So if the Sudbury City Council had to pass a resolution saying that we will allow spring bear hunting in the wildlife management unit that is closest to us. So they've almost been able to kind of buffer themselves from this, that if it does go south, well, it's like, well, you can almost say, well, it's the municipalities that wanted to do this. This was just their idea. We didn't put a gun to their head, so to speak, to say you guys have to bring in a spring bear hunt, right? So again...
And you know, and if it's a source of revenue, even if it's not a lot of revenue, I mean...
That would have been a better way to approach it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Ontario has a robust and healthy black bear population, and it does act as a significant, it could act as a significant source of revenue. If you said that these were your reasons for bringing back the spring bear hunt, it'd be kind of hard to argue with that, because no one would say that the population is not healthy, and no one would say that it doesn't represent money through licensing sales equipment and the outfitting industry, right? But as soon as you say that, you know, we're bringing this back for public safety, and the science doesn't back that up, then you've opened a can of worms, right? So
there really is no threat to the overall population based on this, right?
No, I mean, as long as we're harvesting, you know, nowhere more than, you know, 8 to 10% of the per year, you're fine, right? And I mean, generally, I think on average in Ontario with the fall bear hunt, you know, it's roughly around 6 to 8, depending on the year, right?
Okay.
They're not endangered at all. I mean, it's the population is very healthy, so.
Okay. Well, it's a really interesting discussion, and you've been very active about this, which is very... It's always fun to see when historians are very active on a contemporary issue, that's based or really directly connected to what they do. And mm-hmm. so it's interesting to me to sort of follow you on Twitter. So people can follow you on Twitter. It's at
Mike_Comito.
Yes, and so Comito.
Yeah.
And put up lots of interesting stuff, stats about the bear hunt and also historical things.
I've been kind of not live tweeting, but retweeting a lot of, there was a bear hunt in Timmins in 1959, spring bear hunt, and it was largely done to help replace the bear skins for the Queen's Guards bearskin mm-hmm. caps. And so this attracted a lot of press at the time. This was largely Ontario's first organized spring bear hunt. So mm-hmm. this was the first time that you can really see there's some opposition to the spring bear hunt. And so that's what I've just been kind of doing now, is kind of replaying this this big spring bear hunt for the Queen. And actually, I have a poster today on that at the CHA. So
yes.
that's what I'm about to.
Yes, which is where you have to go. Which is why we have to. Yeah, which is why we have to wrap it up, because you have to go do that. But do you maintain a site? Oh, you do.
Yeah, okay. It's just MikeComito.com.
Okay, so. And you have all your, because you've done some op-ed stuff and some
yeah,
other things.
Yeah, so all the links and stuff there. Like that is on there as well. It's largely, it was just going to be just a blog about everyday stuff, and it's really turned into a blog about bears right now, right?
So. Yeah. I would encourage everybody to check it out and sort of pay attention. And I don't know if this will be posted before or after the election, but we'll see how everything plays out once the new government is put in place and how, regardless of what party it is, how they react to this. Because obviously it's an issue, given that it is a pilot project that will need to be addressed in some form once everything sort of gets settled in this province. So again, Mike Comito, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. It was my pleasure.
If you have any questions, comments for the podcast, it's historyslam@gmail.com, Twitter, @DrShawneeFever. And if you're out and you see Enrico Palazzo, please say hi for me.
Thanks for listening to the History Slam podcast. Be sure to check out Active History for more features, articles, and be sure to subscribe on iTunes.